Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John, indulge me. This will be quick. And with all due respect, in the previous segment, I had a story about a cheerleading coach in Kenosha, Wisconsin, giving out awards to her cheerleading squad that included, what were they, biggest? I don't have it in front of me. Biggest.
The Big Booby Award.
Big Booby Award, yeah. And the Big Butt Award.
Yeah.
So just to give you an idea of how this topic registered with some of our listeners, two quick texts.
Okay.
First one reads, what in the hell are they thinking in Kenosha, Wisconsin? A middle-aged coach commenting on the backside of a teenage girl? If somebody did not get fired, that is crazy. Have a good day, Rich. Followed immediately by, holy cow, Rich is lame. Everyone was on board with the joke. He's so high maintenance.
Okay, well, you admitted that earlier in the show. Johnny, if I'm not mistaken, you moved here from Wisconsin many decades ago. Is that true?
I did. Very, very long time ago. You know, it's funny. Whenever I hear stories about high school, I think back to the days when I coached and taught in high school. And I'll never forget one story. When I was teaching, I was actually at I don't know if you guys remember Jonathan Papelbon. He used to be a reliever in Major League Baseball. And Pap, he was a little left of center. Well, anyway, it was his Catholic school. I was there for a year. And I'll never forget this one girl came into my class, and she was just grousing up a storm. And she was talking about the ROTC coach, leader, whoever it is, major. I don't know how they determine it. And I was like, Heather, what's wrong? And she goes, I got written up. And I was like, what? She's like, I got written up. Now, Catholic school outfits have not changed. It's plaid skirt, white Oxford top, and hasn't changed. It's been that way for forever. And I said, well, why did he write you up? And she goes, he wrote me up for having a pink bra on. And I was like, whoa. I was like, if I ever did that for one of my students, I would have been called down for sexual harassment so fast. I was like, I stopped in my tracks and I changed the subject at that point because yes. I was like, all right, I'm not engaging in this conversation.
Mm-mm.
And then I thought, what the hell is this ROTC leader doing looking at her knowing she's got a pink bra on? And I'm like, okay, I know, like, I get color schemes and, like, I can see, but, like, just no, just don't do it, like, at all. And then I was always my rules, like, when it came to dress code violations, I mean, you could have had the Big Booby Award walk into my room, and I would have been like, not saying a damn word.
No, eject.
Nothing's coming from me.
Eject.
You don't say anything.
Eject.
Nothing.
Eject. Johnny, real quick, don't need to do a deep dive on this, because I think we've asked you this before, but we just did an all due respect story on Trevor Lawrence playing intramural basketball and shoving little students down who are setting screens in the backcourt. I guess reaffirm for us, because like I said, I think we've asked you this, but if Trevor Lawrence were to be eligible to come out in this draft, he would be drafted how high?
Number one.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
Yep. Okay.
No questions asked.
Absolutely.
He would be number one. And by the way, this is always my pet peeve in intramurals. Like, if you don't know how to play the game, like, don't play. Just don't play. And I guarantee that's why Trevor Lawrence is mad, because this little pipsqueak who probably doesn't even play basketball, but he plays NBA 2K, gets out on the court, and he's setting all these moving screens. Oh. Like, I would have hit that guy right straight in the groin. I would have hated that. I hated that intramural basketball. It drove me insane.
Man, he's trying to go viral. It worked.
Wow.
Yeah, that guy.
I'm not sure I want to play intramural basketball against you.
Oh, dude, Johnny's no joke out there.
No,
right, Johnny?
No, in fact, you know our good friend Rich, Robert Hensley, the very first time I ever met Robert, I threw a punch at him. So, you know, there's that.
It was at the Rockets media tournament.
Robert's a baller. Robert's a good athlete.
Yeah. He and Johnny almost got into a fist fight like back in 2008 at the Rockets media tournament.
Wow.
And now I love him. He's like my brother now. Obviously, he's on the broadcast, but back then I wanted to fight right there on the spot.
I was nice. There. I remember. Classic Johnny Harris. All right, Johnny. Rich and I were discussing this yesterday, Kyler Murray and the combine coming up next week, and I think it goes without saying, Kyler Murray is going to be the most watched player at this combine. The talk is he may not participate in some of the drills, some of the physical drills, the throwing right. And whatnot, might save those for his pro day. Does that at all affect how teams are going to evaluate him if he doesn't do some of those things at the combine, or are they all right with him doing it at his pro day?
I think their teams are going to be fine with it at his pro day. Now, I think it's a little different than some of the situations we've had in the past because he hasn't – I mean, he had one full season of film, so, I mean, that's good. But, you know, Lamar Jackson played 3 years, I think, at Louisville. He had a lot of stuff on tape, so there was a lot there. So when he chose not to do anything at the combine, you know, there's some people who are like, whoa, what are you doing? And then, look, go throw it your pro day. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I think we make sometimes too big a deal with that. But, look, I think what the scouts like to see are guys that are competitive to say, yeah, I'll go show it off. I'll show what I've got. But I don't know if there's going to be too big a deal made, I don't think, about that. I think we've seen that enough with quarterbacks. You know, Sam Darnold didn't throw it at the combine last year. But I thought it was interesting with Sam Darnold, though, last year. He threw it his own pro day. And then when Ronald Jones, who had been injured, couldn't participate in USC's pro day, when he had his own pro day, Sam Darnold went and threw for him at his pro day. So, you know, it's little things like that. We'll see. I think a lot will be made about what Kyler does or doesn't do. That's just kind of what we do with the combine. And he will be, like you guys said, he'll be the most watched guy. I don't know that he'll lose. And look, when Kyler Murray steps on the scale, that's and it says 5'9", 200 pounds. I mean, that's all anybody's going to really want to see, because as soon as that happens, whoever's the first to tweet that out, it's going to get like 10,000 retweets because it'll be the official height, weight, size of Kyler Murray. But I don't think too much. I don't think too much would be made about him throwing or not throwing, as long as when he goes to his pro day, like Lamar Jackson last year didn't throw exceedingly well at his pro day. And it's like, well, you know, you had the combine, you didn't do it. If he's not going to throw at the combine, he better go light it up at his pro day if he wants to make sure that he's within top five picks.
John, here was my point when we discussed this, and I want to know what you think about this, because obviously quarterbacks of Kyler Murray's ilk have skipped throwing at the combine before and still wound up being taken high and having success in the NFL. There's many of them. So that I don't look at as that big an issue. But to me, the reason I think it's a mistake, and not an egregious mistake or one that's really going to cost him, but I think it is a mistake to not throw at the combine, is because his situation is unlike any we've ever seen before at the combine. He is currently in the process of trying to convince his potential NFL suitors that they can believe him when he says he is completely and unequivocally done with baseball, despite the fact that depending on where he's taken in the first round of the draft, the Oakland A's could top the number when it comes to guaranteed money. So I feel like he's in a situation where he has to say and do everything to the nth degree to convince these people to make that investment in him. And I think this opens up a slight little sliver of uncertainty. It makes me feel like he's not as all in as he could be at a time when he needs to be as all in as possible.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Rich, I think he made probably the biggest statement that any young person could make. He took $4.5 million and is going to go put it in a return to center to the Oakland A's, because right now the guy could actually be in spring training getting ready for his first minor league year of baseball. But he said no to that. Now, to me, if I'm a GM and I'm trying to decide whether I want to get, you know, I want to draft Kyler Murray or not, it means more to me that he bypassed $4.5 million. Now, obviously, if he's going to be a first round draft pick, he's going to get that back more than likely, and get more than he probably will get long term with the Oakland A's. But he's giving that up. In fact, he's turning that check and giving that money back to the Oakland A's. I would think as a GM going, hey, this guy must want to play football, because $4.5 million are going back to Oakland, and he's coming here to play this sport. And everything that I just get a read from Kyler Murray that it's always been football. Now, football may not be the smart move because of the pounding you end up taking, and obviously at his size, that's a concern. But I've always gotten the impression that football was going to be the way he was going to go. I don't know what told me. I just felt that. And then when he told the A's, look, I'm going to the combine, I'm going to go do this, he's not going to the spring training, I think that probably spoke more volumes than whether he throws or not. Rich, I understand your point. I know scouts and GMs are like, yeah, he needs to be doing everything. But then there are going to be some that look at it and say, you know what? The guy gave up $4.5 million to come here and join us at our little combine party. I'm going to give him a lot of respect for that.
Johnny Harris joining us for his weekly visit, talking some NFL draft in advance of next week's NFL Combine. Johnny, I guess if you were giving somebody a 1 or 2 minute primer here on what they should be watching for next week as pertains to the Texans. We know the position groups that are at the top of everybody's shopping list, offensive line, cornerback. What specifically are the drills and maybe not so much the names, but just some of the drills where you would be saying, hey, with the offensive linemen, keep an eye out on this part, or the cornerbacks, be watching this. What would you tell somebody?
Well, I think a couple of things. You know, arm length is big. You know, that's going to be something with all the tackles. You know, this guy's got 32-inch arms. Okay, he's a guard now. This guy's got 35-inch arms. Oh, my gosh. Can he learn to use them? Then, you know, look at 10-yard splits. That 40-yard dash is okay, but look at the 10-yard splits. How good are the 10-yard splits in the 40-yard dash? That shows the acceleration that a guy can have. And then the change in direction drills. You want to be able to, me, I think the on-field drills, actually for linemen, I like watching them because it shows how they move. It shows how these guys are built, whether the guy's a mudslide or not. You know, you want a guy to at least look the part. But I think you start seeing that in the change in direction drills, the short shuttles, the short shuttle, the three-cone drill. You know, the vertical jump is a good one for explosiveness. How explosive is a guy? You know, I talked to Caleb McGarry from the University of Washington. He told me off camera, he said, yeah, when I did my first baseline testing, at 6'7", 321, he jumped 32 inches in the vertical jump. Like, what? Now, if you see a corner that jumps 32 inches, it's like, well, okay, that's decent. But you're going to see some of these guys like Byron Jones that are 40-plus. You know, that's explosiveness. That's the kind of thing that you want to be looking for. But when it comes to corners, dude, how fast you blaze that 40, it doesn't tell you how great a player you are. But, man, if you can run, you're moving up in the eyes of all 32 teams. That is going to be, all right, we didn't pay attention to you on tape, but you just ran a 4.39. We'll start watching you. We'll start paying attention to you. Those are the type of things, especially a corner. I mean, some of the other ones, the change of direction drills, those are big. But how fast are they? I mean, the corners, it's just pure speed. I mean, you've got to have it. If you have the length, if you have the size. And look, every team is going to have thresholds for height, weight, speed. So there might be a guy that's 5'9", 180 pounds, and he runs a 4.36. But the Texans might not look at him because he doesn't meet a threshold. Now, I don't know. Maybe they change the threshold or they'll change it for certain measurements. You know, if a guy runs a 4.36, maybe they'll look at him if he's 5'5 or 6'5. But with those thresholds, just because a guy runs a certain speed – doesn't mean that the team you love, the Texans in this case, are going to go after that guy or look at that guy. But if that guy is 6'1 and he's 190 and he just ran 4.36, well, buckle up, Sparky, because number 23 could be calling your name.
John, it's been reported that the Texans, Chris, are going to sit down with Bus Cook in Indianapolis next week and begin the conversation regarding the direction they follow with Jadeveon Clowney. Any thoughts on what you think some of those preliminary conversations could yield?
Well, I mean, I want them obviously to get on the same page. I've said this before, and I don't know if I said it to you guys. I may have said it on All Access. We were talking one night about, you know, what players. DP asked the question, what players do you like in the locker room? I said, you know, look, you know, everybody loves Deshaun. The locker room's a good locker room. I love JD. I love Clowney. He's very funny. I think people miss that about him. He's really funny, and the players on the team love him. I think the coaches love him. Look, is he the workout warrior everybody wants him to be or whatever? I don't know. I don't know about that, but the guy came back from microfracture surgery. He did that, and he's turned around 3 years after coming back from microfracture surgery and turned in three Pro Bowl seasons. The guy's a damn good football player, and I hope he stays with the Texans. And I hope that the Texans and Bus can sit down and have these talks, and they can be positive, and they can move towards bringing JD back. Because the one thing that I noticed as I watched throughout the year, there would be times where teams are like, we can't figure out, do we go double and chip off JJ, or do we go double or take care of Jadeveon? Like, teams really couldn't figure that out. Well, you take one of the guys out of that equation, well, it becomes pretty easy going forward what teams are going to do. I just think JD, even though he's not been the 16th, 17th sack-a-year guy, what he does in the run game and the versatility he gives this defense, I think that is what gives this defense its flavor, because you don't know where he's going to line up, and I think that really helps up front. You know where JJ is going to line up now. You know exactly where he's going to be. He's going to be at that left defensive end spot. Where 90 is going to be can change everything of what you're doing. That can free up what? That can free up JD. I hope they have – the conversation that we'd like to see them have, that JD can come back and be a player for this team for the foreseeable future. Look, the franchise tag would be great to bring him back here for 1 year, and I know what goes with that and all the questions of, well, do they want me? Do they not? All that kind of stuff. But I just hope they have good, constructive conversations and come to a meeting point and make sure that we get this thing done before the season starts.
Yeah, he's irreplaceable, in my opinion, Johnny. Absolutely. Johnny, what's going on Texans All Access tonight?
Well, you know it's Wednesday night, so we got a Wednesday night draft. So let's just chew on this a little bit. You can draft one non-quarterback from a team the Texans don't play to put on your team in 2019. Okay? So chew on that a little bit. So one non-quarterback of a team the Texans don't play that you could put on the Texans team for 2019. I thought it was pretty obvious. I thought to me it was pretty obvious where I would go, but then I was like, whoa, there are a lot of different combinations that kind of will come up in this draft that could be pretty interesting. So
yeah,
that's what we did tonight, so you definitely have to check it out.
Okay, yeah, I'm anxious to hear. I'm anxious to hear what the big board on that draft sounds like. Good stuff, Johnny. That'll be 6 o'clock tonight, Texans All Access. And next time we speak to you, are you going to be in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I will be. The timing should be fine for next week, just that we're handling our business on the air. But, yeah, we'll be in Indianapolis sitting amongst all the media and players and whatever else is going on. So we'll be right in the thick of it up there. So it'll be fun to talk to you guys from there next week.
Yeah, looking forward to tracking you down. Safe travels, Johnny. We'll be listening tonight. Thanks.
All right, boys. Take care.
All right, thanks, you John. Too. John Harris, good stuff as always.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.